Welcome to issue 215 of Critical Encounters, a podcast about Marvel Champions, a living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. Here, we take a good look at that most critical piece of the game, the encounter sets. We'll discuss those poorly understood characters, unfairly labeled villains, and their various plans to shape humanity and benefit the planet, as well as those so-called heroes' intent on thwarting them.
Anti-mutant hysteria is sweeping across America. The public lives in fear that their neighbor or child could be a mutant. Senator Robert Kelly has seized the spotlight by spouting pro-human rhetoric and advocating for the Mutant Registration Act. His public address draws the attention of both the X-Men and the Brotherhood of Mutants.
Even though the X-Men rescued Robert Kelly from Sabretooth's attack, the senator's prejudice against mutants is only intensified by the attempt on his life. He contacts Henry Gyrick, head of the top secret commission, Project Wide Awake, to discuss their response to the escalating conflict. The two men agree that the mutant menace is out of control and they can no longer afford to wait for legislation to pass. They need to activate the Sentinels immediately.
Later that night, mutant-hunting robots deploy across the United States. Utilizing their sophisticated scanners, the Sentinels begin hunting down unsuspecting mutants. The surge in psionic energy caused by these mutants' primal terror alerts Professor X to their plight. Using his telepathy, he directs the X-Men to stop the Sentinels and rescue as many of the captured mutants as they can.
The marauding Sentinels have been destroyed, thanks in part to Magneto's surprise assistance. The Master of Magnetism reveals that he has discovered the secret location of the Sentinel factory and suggests he and the X-Men join forces to defeat their common foe. Angered and dismayed by the brazen attack against their fellow mutants, the X-Men agree and follow Magneto to the factory.
The combined powers of Magneto and the X-Men prove too much for Master Mold and its army of Sentinels to withstand, and the mutants triumph over the machines. But instead of destroying the Sentinel factory as agreed, Magneto used his power of magnetism to lift Master Mold out of its subterranean facility and fly it to his orbital fortress, Asteroid M.
The X-Men try to prevent Magneto from escaping, but they are summoned back to the X-Mansion by a telepathic distress call from Professor X. The Xavier Institute is under attack! Magneto has ordered his Brotherhood to assault the school in order to draw off his pursuers and buy him time to reprogram Master Mold.
The X-Men give up their pursuit and race back to the X-Mansion to confront the Brotherhood of Mutants. Magneto sent his Brotherhood of Mutants against Xavier School in order to draw the X-Men away while he escaped with Master Mold. The Master of Magnetism used that time to install Master Mold into his orbital fortress, Asteroid M.
Now safely out of reach of the world's governments, Magneto begins reprogramming the Sentinel factory to create new M-type Sentinels, human-hunting robots. Once complete, he will drop his Sentinels onto the planet below, clearing away human resistance and bringing about his dream of mutant dominion over the world.
Back at the X-Mansion, the mutant Forge finishes making upgrades to the X-Men's supersonic jet, the X-Jet, enabling it to escape Earth's gravity and reach Asteroid M. Professor X wishes his team luck as they blast off to confront his old friend and deadliest foe. I'm one of your hosts, Steve, and joining me tonight is Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, Steve. That was a dramatic read.
Ooh, it was. And you know who else was dramatically reading with us? Michael. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Steve. So good to be back in the X layer again, doing an X podcast.
Yes, it's excellent.
Wow. Do you think that the X folks could be a little more creative in their naming conventions?
Well, no. they were a little creative. Half the cards begin with M. Magneto.
For Magneto, that's right.
Hey, we have a mansion. What should we call it? Hey, we have a jet. What should we call it?
Well, they could call the X-Jet. They could call it Amplify.
That's quite a story.
And that's the story out of our campaign book, because tonight we're going to talk all about the Mutant Genesis campaign. The campaign cards, the campaign style, our thoughts on the campaign, anything to do with the mutant campaign. So
that sounds awesome, but I've been gone for so long, guys. Before we start, I want to hear what's on Daniel's mind tonight.
Good idea.
Oh, well, thanks, Mike. We got an email from Matt. Okay, so he says, I've been playing Marvel Champions since GMW, but only discovered your podcast towards the end of last year. I am working diligently to catch up, currently on issue 82. Well, that's pretty good. I love that you guys look at the villain side of the game, because while the hero side is where we players make our builds and decisions, we need the villain side for the game to exist. It's nice to have that kind of perspective, too. I just had to write to express my appreciation, but also because the last few times I have played, I've done exactly as Mike says, just do it, and followed Daniel's advice to add another modular. I've taken to adding Down to Earth to all my games in addition to the regular setup. I must say, thematically, it makes sense, but it's also so much fun. Regards, Matt. P.S. Mustafa's farewell had me in tears, and I hope he's doing well. Oh. Well, thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Now I got to go back and hear his farewell.
Yeah. How is Mustafa doing these days?
Great. I had dinner with him tonight. So he's fantastic, Matt. Rest assured. Well, when this comes out in 6 weeks, 6 weeks ago, he was great.
And Matt was on issue 82 when he emailed this to us. And by the time we read it, he's probably hit issue 100. So he's heard Mustafa come back on the show for the 100th episode. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but Mustafa's doing great. He's pouring just thousands of dollars into the gaming world to find the perfect game. He's a big Flesh and Blood player, if you guys are familiar with that.
Holy moly, he has the money to get into Flesh and Blood?
Not, well, sort of. There's a nice community at a store called the Game Castle here in College Park, and he sort of hangs with them every Tuesday, and it's a nice group of folks. Tried to get me in it. I was so bad at it, guys. Like, I'm often bad at, like, the head-to-head card games, which is why I regret getting into Star Wars Unlimited. But I already bought things, so
it's because you're making the Jawa decks.
Now, yeah, like now it's just art. Yeah. Yeah, it's just art collections for me. Yeah, so I, you know, like, but I would, you know, we did this, like a thing, like a three-hour thing, and, like, the matches are 40 minutes, and then you move on to the next guy. Anyone who played me, so Moosty taught me the game, brought me to one. Anyone who played me beat me in 5 minutes, and we sat there looking at each other for a half hour. And I'm like, this is really literally the least fun I've had in gaming that I remember. And so I gave all of my cards to Mustafa's kid, his 10-year-old, who was the most recent one to beat me in 5 minutes, handed him the cards, and I'm like, I'm out. Thank you. And I just left the thing. I left the event.
You got to know.
I literally like took my ball and went home, except I actually left my ball there.
You're like, you can have my ball. And I
have the ball. This ball sucks.
I don't know how to use this ball. You can keep it.
This is the worst ball ever. So yeah, but anyway, but I digress. We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matt, thank you so much for the email. Keep them coming. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. We love having you.
Glad you're having fun experimenting.
Yeah. Yep.
Play your game, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Play your game.
Enjoy. You'll find all sorts of fun interactions.
Yep.
Well, speaking of fun interactions, let's talk campaign. Ooh, segue.
That was one of your...
Good.
That's in your top 100, for sure.
Oh, good. Okay. It doesn't work when you then say it was a segue, like it loses all its momentum, but whatever.
It's definitely in the top 214.
Yes. All right. Campaign for Mutant Genesis. We've got a bunch of things we're going to talk about. We want to talk about how the campaign rolls, how that works. We want to talk about the campaign roll cards that you get, like the Brawler or the Commander cards. We also want to talk about just like how you progress through the campaign, the different things you do with the log. And we want to talk about all those encounter campaign cards as well. What we're not really going to talk about tonight is the future past cards specifically. You can go back to 212 when we had Caleb Grace on and we talked all about future past. And you can go back as well to hear about the captured captives and Jubilee on issue 196, Project Wide Awake Part 2, where we talk all about those allies. So if you haven't listened to those, you might want to listen to those and then come back to us. I don't know. I assume everybody listens in order, though, right, Daniel? That's what we said before, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So who wants to talk about this campaign role?
I'll do it. Because we screwed it up. not you guys and me, but Becky and Andy and I, we sort of screwed it up. Because you know how, like, I don't like to read to the bottom of cards?
Yes.
I sort of am like that with rules. So
like halfway down the page and flip to the next one? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So the campaign roles. Now, the X-Men are a team, and each member has a unique role. The Mutant Genesis campaign introduces a roles mechanic that represents each hero's area of expertise on the team. The four roles are Brawler, Commander, Defender, and Peacekeeper. Each of these roles represents a specialized skill set that combines the capabilities of two core aspects of Marvel Champions, giving players access to new effects that can either enhance their chosen aspect or augment their deck with effects they would not normally have access to. The associated aspects for each role are as follows. Brawler, aggression plus protection. Commander, aggression plus leadership. Defender, justice plus protection. And Peacekeeper, justice plus leadership. So when you stop reading there, you might think that you can only be a brawler, say, if your deck is either aggression or protection. So that's kind of what we did wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you're like, oh, okay, so I'm limited to these, whatever. Right?
Wait, it's not?
It's no.
But wait, Mike, there's more.
It gets much better.
By setting up scenario one in campaign mode, each player chooses one of these roles and records their choice in the campaign log. Each player must choose a different role, and that choice is not limited by their chosen aspect. See, really, we just needed to read two sentences more.
In fact, I think it's better if those aspects are not what you're playing.
Yes, absolutely. So we actually kind of redid it for the second scenario so we could do it right. Each role comes with its own set of five upgrades. These upgrades can be earned by defeating the campaign-specific side scheme in each scenario. If the players have earned their role upgrades, they will each take a random upgrade from their role set of cards and put it into play at the start of the game. At the end of the game, those upgrades are removed from the campaign, whether they were used or not. This use it or lose it rule is intended to encourage players to look for opportunities to use their role upgrades to assist the team each game. There you go. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about role building?
Sure. Yeah, role building. Okay, so yes, now that I'm reading this again, I did play by the right rules. In addition to these upgrades, each role gives players the ability to further customize their decks by granting them limited access to their role's associated aspects. So Brawler has aggression plus protection. That means when you're setting up a scenario, you can choose up to one copy of an event or one copy of an upgrade from either of those aspects. If your deck does not already include the chosen event and or upgrade, you may add either or both to their deck for that game. Cards chosen this way do not count toward the minimum or maximum deck size.
Yeah. Okay.
Lots going on there. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
So I want to back up a tiny bit to the use it or lose it rule for the roll cards that we're going to get. I like that you get the card or you've earned the card and you get it for the next scenario and you need to use it because like Rise of Red Skull, you'd get that rocket launcher, and you're like, I'm just going to hold on to it until Zola or Red Skull, right? And they just never got used, and you'd pile them up. I like that it's, you got one, find a space to use it in the next game, use it up, earn something else, move on to the next item. I think that's nice, so that you're not hoarding stuff. So
I agree. It does hurt a little bit when your Uber Defense card comes out when you don't need it, and then Magneto comes out, and you've got something you don't need.
Yeah, that's true.
But, that's just the way it goes.
I'm the kind of guy who, when I play like a video game role-playing game, my backpack is like loaded with every single potion ever because I'm saving them for the right time, and that right time never happens. So I like that they force me to use it. So
yeah,
I need that push.
X potions for the last boss. Right. What if you don't?
Yeah.
And I like that these role cards, they start the game with you, right? So it's not like you have to draw them and then wait for your time. They're there from the get-go. It could be first turn if you need it, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. So, Mike, explain a little more about this copy of an event. Let's say that I'm a brawler, Mike.
Okay, well,
I have a justice deck, but I chose brawler.
Well, then you're probably really good at thwarting, and you're going to have to decide, do I have answers for the enemy phase when I'm being attacked, or am I lacking in the damage department? If so, like, you get to choose either aggression or protection, and you get to choose two cards, one event, one upgrade.
Can I choose
either.
Both things? Can I have an aggression event and a protection upgrade?
You sure can.
Yay!
Oh, can? Oh, geez. Wow, that's even better. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So it is kind of funny if you're the justice player and you're the brawler. That's kind of a weird title to give you, but it does give you access to a punchy card and, say, desperate defense.
Right. Yeah. So one thing I found was, like, say you're playing Mike's favorite X-Man, Cyclops. And you want
the Iron Man of X-Men for my
you're playing Justice, so you have all the Justice upgrades that go in minions. Well, you can go and grab a protection upgrade or an aggression upgrade, which gives you like another one of those things you can slap on a minion, so you can
cool
beam them. Or like Mike's saying, Maybe you want to go get an aggression event that gives you piercing for an attack or something along those lines. So you can kind of help shore up your weaknesses. I like that aspect of it. So.
And these decisions get made, Steve, right? If I'm wrong, if I'm right, you can change these cards out every scenario, right?
Correct. It says roll build. If you've complete the objective, the next scenario will say you can roll build, which means look at this paragraph and do what it says, right? So. Right.
Cool. And if you're playing Daniel's favorite hero, Iron Man, and you're playing him in Justice, you can pull a tech upgrade from protection.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing you're going to also have to remember, you have to read to the bottom of the text to see this. Each player must choose a different role. You can't all be brawlers.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And you can't change that in between scenarios. You can change the cards you put in, but not your actual role title.
Right.
Right. Once you've been assigned the defender, you're the defender of the whole game. And those cards don't, these role building cards don't count towards a minimum or maximum. So you can have a 52 card deck out there if you want.
I always do.
Yeah.
Anyway. So. And third sign of the apocalypse, folks, is if I'm playing Iron Man and Justice. All right.
Yeah. And then putting protection in as your bonus. Yeah.
No, I like green. I like green a lot. So,
I mean, there's just some staple cards out there too, right? Like, if you're not 100% sure and you're a commander or peacekeeper, I don't know, you put Maria Hill in, you just give everyone at the table card draw, right? And you got a little ally. Maybe you put Night Nurse.
Isn't she support?
Oh, Maria Hill's she's an ally. Sorry, you're right.
It has to be Avenger upgrade.
Right. What was I thinking? Night Nurse. But she's an upgrade, right? Or she's support?
She's support.
Okay, so none of these work. All right. Cut all that.
So what Steve is telling you to do is, like, what Steve is saying is don't put these red herring cards in because they're not legal.
Right. That's the other thing. Not, pay attention.
It's not a blue card. It's not like you get an access to a card of a color and another card of a color. It's specific types. Okay, folks? Yep. Event or upgrade.
So, I mean, Spider-Woman's really good in this, right?
She could have all four aspects.
Right, yeah. And then she's triggering extra times because you have those extra those extra aspect cards.
The best X-Man ever is Spider-Woman.
You could do the same. you could do the same thing with Adam Warlock, I guess. So you could hit his Battle Mage a few more times. You'd have a couple extra. I don't know how that one works. could you?
Because it doesn't count towards your deck building limits, I'm assuming that means that you can break his restriction of having equal numbers of cards in each aspect.
I think so.
Right. But it still doesn't allow you to have two of something because it says if a player's deck does not already include the chosen event or upgrade.
Correct. Yeah.
So you can't, he can't have two of the same thing. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we've jibber jabbered on along. So let's say I'm a brawler. Okay. I earn a card. There's five of them. I shuffle them up and I could start the game randomly with one of these five. Steve, why don't you hit us up with the first one?
Okay, Brazen Defense. So all of these are zero-cost upgrades with a wild resource. So it's a skill, Hero Interrupt Attack Defense. When an enemy attacks, spend one resource of any type, prevent three damage from this attack, and deal three damage to that enemy. Remove this card from the game and the campaign pool, which they're all going to say as well.
Yeah. Steve, I have a formatting question. Why say zero cost rather than like the null dash?
Because it is out in play, and there are some cards that target
the highest cost
upgrade, lowest cost, and a null, I think, would just mess with those kinds of mechanics.
Oh, that would really suck if this gets hit by
one. Yeah, plus if there's anything that says increase the cost to play an upgrade by one.
Got it.
Yeah, now, but Daniel is right. They do start in play, but they could, like, you could get caught off guard, and it gets discarded.
Caught off guard, okay.
And then you could, it would cycle around, and eventually could get it back, but, yeah.
So I like this. This one is definitely a card Mike would love to have.
It's pretty good. And when I choose, I sometimes like to shore up what I'm good at, plus have something else in there that does something I don't.
All right, Daniel, hit us with the next one.
Coup de Grace, which is a hero interrupt. When you attack, this attack deals three additional damage and gains overkill. And then the remove. Tally-ho, says Nightcrawler, which makes no sense since he's German.
Yeah.
having seen all the X-Men movies now that I have, though I have not watched Dark Phoenix because everyone says it's so awful, so I don't want to do it. But yeah, he wouldn't say tally-ho based on...
He's got a little rapier, so maybe he's just
branching out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. He's German. The card is French, and he's saying something that's sort of Scottish. I'm never playing this card. It's too confusing.
So this card is also found in the commander role. So we're going to find that there are some duplicates between the roles.
Yeah. All right. So you could have a whole team of coup de grâces.
Yeah, if you randomize them that way.
Isn't there only two coup de grâces?
Yeah, that's true. There's two.
My whole team, I mean you and your buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, the next one is Ferocious Attack. Hero action, attack. Spend 3 resources of any type to deal 6 damage to an enemy and ready your hero. Remove this card from the game and the campaign pool.
3 for 6 and a ready. That seems okay.
Because it sticks around. Remember, you don't have to have this in your hand at the same time you're spending the resources. You can wait until you have that bum hand.
Right.
Which I think makes this better than it first appears.
Did you say until you get the bomb hand or bum hand?
Bum hand.
Okay.
You know that hand where you're like, I'm useless this turn. Well, you might as well pump 3 resources and punch something.
Right.
Yeah. Ready up. Yeah. I think if it was just the 6 damage, it wouldn't be great, but with the ready up, it's pretty ferocious. Yeah.
Very ferocious. So
what I like about these cards, and I think what I'm about to say, I think it holds true for all of them, for me anyway, is like, they're cool effects, but they're not like monstrously awesome, right? It's like sort of another thing you can do, and it's interesting. But like 3 resources of any type just to deal 6, well, that's about like kind of on the cost curve of damage, right? And like the readying, but it's neat. It's not a super power, right?
And it's super unbalanced is what you're saying. Like
they're cool. Yeah. And you will use them because it's not like the thing where you're like, oh, I need to really wait for the right moment to use Ferocious Attack, right? Mm-hmm. That right moment could be 8 times in a game.
But remember, Daniel, you're playing Justice Iron Man.
Mm.
This is your big attack.
Fair point. Yeah. Good point. I'm so doing it on an extreme. All right. Because that will be the apocalypse.
Speaking about Iron Man, Daniel, read the next card because I think he's got some of this.
Some swagger. All right. Now, the Defender role also has swagger. So let's hear about this. It is a hero interrupt defense. When you make a basic defense, you get +3 defense. Ready your hero. Remove this card. Go ahead, bub. Make our day, Wolverine.
This card is so freaking awesome. It doesn't cost anything additional.
Isn't it the card that already exists, sort of?
It's a little... It is, but it's not conditional.
Right. Oh, the other one is +3, and if you take no damage, ready, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because this one's readying you before you even calculate stuff.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, as an interrupt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to trigger it before you flip the boost cards. As soon as you go to defend, +3 defense.
And you actually have to defend.
Yeah.
So.
And again, it's like a desperate defense, but it stays out. You don't have to draw it and have it in your hand at the right moment.
Yep.
And cool. Tell me a hero that doesn't want that. Seriously.
Justice Iron Man.
I mean, everyone could use +3 defense and ready because it's like a free defense, right?
It's a free defense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Warcry is our last brawler card. Hero resource, generate 2 wild resources for an attack or defense event. Gain a tough status card. Remove this card from the game. And Wolverine is saying,
I thought Mike was supposed to read those flavor texts.
Oh, yeah.
Rawr.
There we go.
Yeah,
rawr.
Perfect.
Oh, golly.
Okay, so it's just...
That sounded just like Hugh Jackman, Mike. Nice job.
Yeah, quality. I mean, it's just a free resource generator for an event card and a tough.
Yeah.
So... Yeah,
that's cool.
I think I've used that before to just pay a single cost card because I wanted that tough.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we're moving on to the commander set. So we're going to start with Compassion, which also appears in Peacekeeper.
That makes sense.
Alter Ego Response. After you recover, heal 3 damage from among characters you control and draw 1 card. Remove this card from the game and the campaign pool. We've all been there, son. Cyclops.
And he's like hugging the Rock Man. I forget what that character's name is.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a big fella, whoever it is.
We have that ally, but I can't remember what his name is.
We do?
Yes, he's a protection ally.
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
You know his name.
I don't know the allies.
Remember, Mike plays protection, but not allies.
All right.
So, that's nice.
Yeah, alter ego action. There's probably not too many of those, right? Of these cards. So
probably not. So, you know. So when you choose commander, let's go back and see what that's supposed to replicate. Commander is aggression plus leadership. Okay.
Yeah, so that's definitely a leadership.
You're gonna want to heal
for the healing, of your allies. Yeah.
And it doesn't cost you anything except you have to recover as well. Jeez, you get a card draw off of it too, so yeah. Rock Slide, that's the guy's name. Rock Slide.
Well, that seems appropriate.
Yeah. All right, Daniel.
All right, the next one is Coup de Grâce, which we've already talked about. So moving on. Group Assault is the third commander card. This is a skill and tactic traded upgrade. Hero action until the end of the phase. Prevent all consequential damage each ally would take from attacking. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The right leadership deck with those chunky allies that take two consequential for attacking. Oh.
There's something else that's awesome about this is that it's ally. And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't Jubilee and Magneto, aren't they allies?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
And it's each ally, so it's not just your allies. It's for the whole team, everybody that you're playing with, all four goodness. Players, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
So three of us would benefit, and then Mike would just be there. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he might have Jubilee or Magneto because he's the first player.
So we have to wait for Mike to be first player? Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love this. As a leadership player, I love this one.
Yeah, and this is like one of the cards where it's like the commander is leadership is one of its aspects. So this might be one of those where I want to be building a leadership deck and be the commander so I could take advantage of this. It's not one of like shore up my weaknesses. This is like make my strong stuff stronger.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But remember, if I'm the leadership guy, Steve, I might want you to be the commander and you have this.
True.
Because I'll already be building a nice leadership deck, right? And like you'll have wanted the blue and the red in your deck, right? The blue and the red cards in your deck for whatever reason. And like you said, this is for all of us. So it doesn't really matter if the blue player has the card.
Yeah.
You could so grief the X-23 player. Honey Badger won't be taking damage.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I was thinking, Daniel, I was thinking like in a solo game.
Oh, where, sure.
Yeah, you could grief. Now it's only from attacking, not thwarting, though.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. Honey Badger thwarts.
She thwarts. Yeah, it could work.
Okay.
Yep.
It's also an interesting like foursome on the art.
Cyclops, Storm, Angel, and I hope
I don't see Cyclops.
It's Psylocke.
Psylocke.
Psylocke. Yeah. And who's the?
That's Hope Summers.
Yeah, it's Hope Summers.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. What's next?
Improvisation. It is a hero resource. Generate two wild resources for an attack or tactic event. Ready an ally and heal two damage from it. Oh, okay. And then remove it. So this is the commander resource generator. I'm going to give you an attack or a tactic event. Then you get to ready and heal somebody too. So
that's great.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's great.
Heal up Wongers or Mantis. Or any Wongers. Of those like any of those key allies you might be playing.
Squirrel Girl.
No, you want her to die so she comes back. The Spider-Man the basic Spider-Man that like when he attacks, you ready another Web Warrior.
Oh
so
yeah.
Stay on the table, right? Yeah. So yeah.
I love it.
I love that.
I feel like they should say ready an ally and heal two damage for them, but whatever.
I mean the card
seems. Yeah, that's true. Now, if they said ready an ally card and heal two damage from it, then it's okay. But they didn't say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Next one is Shock and Awe. This is going to sound like one we read, but it's slightly different. This is a skill and a tactic. It's a hero action attack. Spend three resources of any type, deal six damage to an enemy, and ready each ally you control.
Ooh, there it is.
Which is another reason why Steve is right in that the leadership player might want to be a commander.
Yeah.
Because Mike having this card is pointless.
Yeah, I'm not choosing this role. unless I've got Wongers, of course.
Mm. I mean, six damage, ready all your allies. You time that just right.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, Domino wants that.
Oh, yeah.
Domino wants that so badly with the posse.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call.
And a Triskelion or whatever gives you more allies. could have an army swarming. Well, next we have defenders, guys. Now, the defender role, that is justice plus protection. That makes sense. Okay. Well, their first card is Bodyguard. It is a zero-cost upgrade with a skill trait. Hero resource, this is their resource generator. Generate two wild for a defense or thwart event. Draw one card. Back off, Cyclops. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paying for a card, drawing a card. Not bad.
See, what's interesting about this is, what this was, Justice Leadership? Sorry, Justice Protection. If you are the aggression player, that resource generator doesn't do a whole lot for you.
Yeah, not a ton.
Yeah. I mean, your hero events could be a defense or a thwart, however.
Yeah, they could.
So.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you do have the ones you can splash in, but, you know, something to keep in mind.
Yeah, but like you said, though, it just sits there the whole game, and eventually you draw that one defense card or that one thwart card you have, and you're like, well, I can play it for free.
Here we go.
And, and it replaces itself because I get to draw a card. So here we go. Yeah. So. All right. The next one is Determined Defense. Hero Interrupt, Defense Thwart. When you defend against an attack, spend two resources of any type. That attack removes threat from the main scheme instead of dealing damage. Okay, wait, what? That attack removes threat from the main scheme instead of dealing damage.
Okay, wow. So I have to ask a rules question. When you defend an attack, that means you've tapped to defend this attack.
Or you've used a defense card.
Or you've used a defense card. So let's say you have exhausted yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How much threat gets taken off? If your defense is high, does that cut down on how much defense? Or is this pre or post?
Dealing damage means I deal six before defense is calculated, right?
Right. It's not instead of dealing and taking have been split. So if Ronan deals nine damage and you defend three of it, you take zero and you remove nine threat because he dealt.
Yeah, okay.
He dealt the damage that. Good. Yeah.
I like that. It makes this card more universally useful.
Before it gets reduced by defense and stuff like that. But you have to either tap to do it or play a defense card to be able to trigger this, right?
And right. Really, your defense card, there's what, two that require you not to exhaust?
You can play
Preemptive Strike.
Yeah, Defiance. Both of those, though, are going to reduce the amount of damage dealt.
So you actually kind of want to tap? I don't know.
Yeah, and you can't use an ally. It has to be you. So, yeah, your hero is going to be the one who has to defend. So,
if you'll recall from a previous episode, Daniel, you are not Mockingbird.
That's true.
I think it could be good in the right situation, especially if you're not a defendy type of hero, right? Like, say you're Iron Man and you have a one defense. Well, here you go. Cancel a ton of damage. Remove a bunch of threat. Ready up with your arc reactor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Drax could like that because he has a hard time thwarting.
Yep.
And he loves being attacked.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, now I got to do that.
But he needs to get hit, doesn't he?
He just has to defend. But he needs to be able to get. He needs to be able to ready somehow. So
he just needs to be attacked. That's it. Okay. The next one is Heroic Intervention, which is a skill. It's a hero action. Thwart. Spend three resources of any type. Remove five threat from among schemes in play. You gain a tough status card. Wow. Lots of fun stuff in this.
Yeah, three for five. Threat removals always cost a little bit more. So it's not we're not seeing the three for six like we do on the attack cards. Then you get a tough. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the flashiest.
Reasonable. Not great.
I mean, it's heroic intervention. It's when you need it.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you can remove it from among schemes in play, which means you get to pick and choose one from this, two from that, three from that, makes it better than if it was just five from a scheme in play.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. You can set stuff up for other combos. So.
Really handy in Magneto.
Surprise!
I did it! Oh my god, you surprised me trying to surprise Mike.
We surprised each other. Whoa.
That was amazing.
I don't know whose card it was to read, but it's mine now.
It's mine. Well, take it. You did it. Yeah, you surprised one.
I surprised you. Okay, so this is the same card that we're going to see in the Peacekeeper role. It is a hero response. After you thwart, remove three threat from among schemes in play. Confuse an enemy. Remove this card. Oh, and here you go, Daniel. Guten Tag. Nightcrawler.
Finally.
Finally, yeah.
Makes a lot more sense than tally-ho. All right.
All right.
That's yeah. cool.
Confusion. Good. Awesome.
And it's free.
Don't play that in Magneto when he's stalwart.
Stalwart, yeah.
And it is confuse an enemy, so, you know. You got.
Yeah, it doesn't work against Master Mold either.
Hmm.
So you're going to have to do it to a minion or something in a couple of those scenarios. You do have to thwart already and then remove three more. So this could be really useful, like, against a player side scheme. You know, you pull some threat off and you pull even more and finish that player side scheme off, that kind of thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Very helpful. So Defender rounds out with Swagger, which we've seen, which then moves us to the Peacekeeper role, which is Justice and Leadership. Okay, they begin with Compassion, which we saw in Commander. So their first card we'll talk about is Fortitude. It is a skill. It is their resource generator. Generate two wild for a tactic or thwart event. Stun an enemy. Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Bush Ma, says Colossus.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Moi is me. B-O-Z-H-E is not a French word, I know, but if it's what I think it is, it's a bad thing.
Oh, boy. Colossus. Language Colossus. Bosh moi means my God, according to Google.
Never heard that before. But there's another something moi, which you can
Russian. In
imagine.
Russian. Yeah.
Moi is Russian?
It's that's the English.
Then it's probably Boshe Moi or something. It wouldn't be okay.
And that makes sense because Colossus is Russian. So okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was wondering why he was speaking a strange French. So Boshe Moi is my God.
Yeah. And now
maybe cut that.
Why?
The art in this, when I first saw this card, I thought Colossus had a cabinet full of children.
Children. Is that
really
what it
confused.
Is?
No, I think
he's kidnapping them.
No, I think he's like, yeah, he probably is.
I thought he's throwing a bunch of children off a cliff.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy looking. So, my favorite art.
No, it's pretty odd.
His arms are weird looking. His head is really small. Yeah.
But it's from a comic, so we're not making fun of an artist.
Nope. Just comic artists.
Well, our comic artist is, but we don't know their name.
Right.
All right.
Okay, the next one is Mentorship. It's a skill and tactic. Hero action, thwart. Spend three resources of any type to remove five threat from among schemes in play. Ready each ally you control.
Okay.
So depending on who you are, how many allies, that could be really cost efficient. Okay, I want to talk about the art.
Okay.
So what do you picture when you picture mentorship? Is it your mentor and the mentee each practicing their swagger poses? Because that's probably what this looks like.
Hey, mentee, album pose, quick.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean.
Look in the camera.
Wolverine's like, stand like this, pose like that. Yeah. And they got matching outfits.
And who's that with him?
Jubilee.
That's Jubilee? Okay. I like her goggles. Pretty cool.
Kind of her thing.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
You gotta put them on and keep her sparkles out of her eyes. All right. This is going to be the last card we talk about.
Because you know why? Surprise!
Yeah, okay, you got me. So the last one is
Rescue. I feel like that one didn't land.
It's all right.
I feel bad.
You can't be as good as me every time, Daniel.
Nope, you're right. You're right. Try and fail.
All right, Rescue Operation, Skill, Tactic, Hero Action. Until the end of the phase, prevent all consequential damage each ally would take from thwarting. Remove this card.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
We saw it before as the attacking version. Yeah. Okay.
So that's Peacekeeper, Defender, Commander, and Brawler.
Nice. A fun addition.
Really good utility cards that start in play, therefore they are the perfect utility cards.
Yep. Pro tip, use them before gang up or protect them with another upgrade quick.
Use them on turn one, right? Set yourself up. Yeah. Or at least before the end of the game.
Sure. But right, aren't the earlier rounds harder? Right.
Yeah, typically you aren't set up yet. You need a little extra, you know, whatever. You might have bonus cards dealt to you to start with. You could start with an ally.
It felt like I was being cheeky, but I don't think I am.
No, I don't think you are.
You might need these right away, and that's okay. But you only ever do one rescue operation ever.
Right.
In the campaign. Remember that too. So, all right. Cool. Those are great cards. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, and since you get them randomly, right, you're going to shuffle them up and you get dealt randomly, you can't really count on them. You can kind of know what's coming up towards the end, right? You've used up three of them, so there's only two left.
Right.
So,
But even then, it's not worth thinking about because you're not going to, like, deck build for it, really, right? So, just kind of fun little surprises.
Yeah, you might be like, okay, I'm not going to play these because I don't have any allies, those ones. But otherwise, yeah.
But Steve, what kind of person would have no allies?
Psychopath, I guess.
Winners.
People who are living alone with polar bears.
So. Wow. All right. Well, what's next in this whole campaign redux that we're doing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about like the campaign rules and the log, sort of like how you progress through them. I'll go through the first one and then maybe we can bounce around a little bit. So Sabretooth is our first scenario. You can start with a frightened police side scheme into play. And if you clear it, it goes into the victory display. You will be able to roll build on the next mission and you'll get your upgrade on the next mission. And then you're going to mark down if your roll cards are used, you know, which one you've used. And you're also going to write down if there's any future pass cards have been defeated and you can remove them from the log so you won't see those again. So,
Steve, can I ask you a rules question?
Yeah.
So for the first scenario of the game, though, are you getting one of these five cards we just talked about?
Yeah, if you play campaign.
Roll build specifically only means the two aspects that you can throw into your deck.
That's what roll build
means, right?
At the beginning of Sabretooth, it will say you get to put out a roll card and you get to roll build.
And you do get to roll build. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then later on, you have to complete the objective in order to get the next roll card and be able to roll build for the next scenario.
So roll build is also equals one of the five cards.
One of the five cards, right. You could fail to complete the necessary objective, which are all side schemes. So you do not get the card in the next scenario.
I've never
done
that.
You do not get to roll build in the next one. No, I don't think so. I'm purposely trying to clear the side scheme.
Really should be. If you don't do that,
you're missing a big piece of campaign.
Pro tip, that's a bad idea. Yeah. And they're not hard, right? Like
Right. And when you do complete your objective, though, you are going to get one of those future pass cards shuffled into the campaign. So sure. I suppose you know, you're not going to get a penalty, but you definitely don't get the
if you're really scared bonus. Of yeah.
Okay, sorry, at this point I have to jump in case there's some people yelling at their phones right now or their device of choice. You are correct except for the card you missed in your Magneto episode. When you flip that card, that is a penalty, but it forces you to flip it. Yeah, the final one, if it's out, you have to complete it. You have to, but as soon as you flip it, it buffs Magneto.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because eventually, if you win that scenario, there is no sixth scenario. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, why don't you tell us about the frightened police that comes with Sabretooth?
Okay, the frightened police. They are frightened of, it looks like, Cyclops and Beast. I would use it. In the midst of the chaos, the police have confused the X-Men with the enemy. See, I was right. Okay.
I don't think they've confused anything. I think they got it right.
Yeah. When defeated, shuffle the top card of the future past deck into the encounter deck, flip this card and put Metro PD into play. So this has three threat per player on it. It has a crisis.
it has a crisis icon.
I know, right?
And it has three boost icons.
But wait, what's the Metro PD?
Okay, so if you can't find it, it's because it's on the other side. Metro PD is a support with here's your notch for your cost, Daniel. This is a persona. It is permanent, so that's why it has no cost, right? It's permanent. The first player controls Metro PD. Action, exhaust Metro PD to choose to either deal one damage to an enemy or remove one threat from a scheme.
Love it.
Yeah. Again,
it's very flavorful.
Very flavorful and also a lot of utility, depending on what you're playing.
Spot help. Yep.
You have to remember, too, it's like the first player controls it. But since it's an action, it's not a hero action, it's not an alter ego action, you can call for this on any turn, so you can just do it at any point when you need it to clear one or ping a tough or do something like that. So.
And every three rounds, this is Mike's only friend.
Still not an ally, just a persona.
Still not an ally, so yeah. So he can keep his thing going. All right. Steve, did you want to talk about...
All right, so we're going to move on to Project Wide Awake. This is one we're going to put enemy and my enemy side scheme out. And again, if you can complete it, you'll get the roll build. You'll get your upgrades in the next mission. We're going to track the roll cards that are used. You're going to track the future card pass. And in this one, you could save Jubilee and she'll into play in the next mission. You could also save the captive allies who will move into player decks for the next mission.
Nice.
So, Danny, why don't you read Enemy of My Enemy?
It is a side scheme. Magneto also fights to protect vulnerable mutants from the Sentinels. When defeated, shuffle the top card of the Future Past deck into the encounter deck. Flip this card and put Magneto into play under the first player's control. This is an acceleration token and comes with 3 threat per player. Now, Magneto, he's something else, fellas. Eric Lenscher, the Brotherhood of Mutants, traded unique ally. 2 thwart, 3 attack. Now, his thwart doesn't have an asterisk, but his attack does. After he attacks and defeats a Sentinel minion, heal the damage from Magneto. He also has victory 1, and the first player controls him, and he does count against your ally limit. He's bonkers good.
Yep,
he's fantastic. As he should be. As he should be. Right?
Clearly the hero of the campaign.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. 5 health, so he can attack, like, 3 times without having to kill a Sentinel. Then once he starts picking off Sentinels, he can kind of sit there at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't count against your ally limit. The one nice thing is he can disrupt that X-Man team card where it's like, if all your characters are X-Men, well, he's not. He's Brotherhood of Mutants. So he kind of throws off the team mojo when he's under your control.
Oh, that's beautifully themed. Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
it works out.
Mm. Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Thank you, Steve. Cool.
I only brought it up because he's done it to me in the past. I'm like,
And Steve, remind everyone where Jubilee is and where the captain game starts.
So they are part of the main scenario.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
There's a side scheme that they will come out.
Operation Overlord. No, that's not right. It's Operation Wide Awake.
Wide Awake. Yep.
But that's not the one that takes people. The one that captures allies are like 4 of them, right?
Yeah, and they're just in. Those ones are just in.
They're just in. But you start with 1 in play.
Yeah, and you randomly tuck an ally underneath it, and then when you clear it, you get the ally, and then more of them come out. And Jubilee, I think you complete the mutants at the mall side scheme right off the bat, and if you do that,
you
get her. Yep. And but they are, even if you're not playing campaign mode, you can save the captives. You can save Jubilee. They're just built into that scenario
Wide Awake.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Well, tell us about the third scenario, Steve. Master Mold.
So we're going to start with Find the Prisoner side scheme out there. And again, if you clear that one, you can roll build. You can have your upgrade at the next mission. You're going to track the roll cards. You're going to track your future pass cards. If Jubilee is still alive at the end of Project Wide Awake, you're going to get to put her into Master Mold. If she's alive at the end of Master Mold, you get to put her into Mansion Attack. And again, if you have saved the captive allies, you can put them in this scenario. You can put them in the next scenario. And then there's one other thing in Master Mold. There's a Find the Prisoners and Rescued Captives side schemes. And anyone who's tucked under there can't be used the rest of the campaign. So when those side schemes come out, if you don't save the people who are trapped there, they are trapped there the rest of the campaign. So you lose out on them for the next 2 scenarios.
Now, that's assuming you win the scenario, move on, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, now look whose deck is rocking.
All right, Mike, give us Find the Prisoners.
Okay, Find the Prisoners. When revealed, each player searches their deck for an ally and places it face down under here. When defeated, shuffle the top card of Future Past deck into the encounter deck, flip this card, and reveal Rescue Captives, keeping the face down cards under here, of course. That is 3 boost icons and has 3 threat per player. Rescue Captives is an environment. It is a mission. Response, after you defeat a Sentinel minion, of which there are many, spend 1 resource of any type to choose a face-down ally under this card and put it into play under your control. Any player may trigger this ability. 2 boost icons. The mutants seized by the Sentinels have been located inside Master Mold's facility.
So for that scenario, for that game, I can take Steve's ally.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. They don't care who's rescuing them. Which makes sense.
Yeah, this is one of those campaign side schemes that you really want to clear because you clear it and you get to have your roll build, you get to have your roll upgrade, but then it gives you the opportunity to rescue the captives. You have to find them first and still rescue them. So even if you flip the side scheme to the environment and don't pull them out from underneath it, you lose those allies going forward. So, you know, you get to pick which ally it is under there, but still, maybe you only have one ally in your deck because you're Mike. So.
Yep. And now you've just slimmed your deck down.
Except that one ally is actually a persona.
Yeah. Well,
that Mike has somehow figured out how to bring with him the entire campaign.
From campaign to campaign. The interesting thing, though, is if it is, say, like your signature ally that you've put under there and you've lost him, your deck goes down to 39 cards or whatever.
And it's illegal. Yep.
It's illegal. You got to put something back in it to keep going.
Oh my gosh. You can put in some. Oh my gosh.
Something else.
The possibilities are endless.
Oh, golly. All right, so we finally beat Master Mold. Where do we go?
We run home. The cowards run home to protect their basketball court. They're like, oh, no, someone's in our cafeteria eating our food. So Mansion
Get my
attack.
Sandwich back from that big fella.
Yeah. Rogue, yeah. So you're going to put out surprise attack side scheme. And again, if you beat it, you get to roll build. You get to upgrade card for the next mission. You're going to track your roll cards. You can track your future pass cards. Again, if Jubilee is alive. So Jubilee gets to come with you basically forever as long as you leave her alive. If she's alive at the end of Mansion Attack, she'll come with you. And if you have those saved captive allies, they'll come with you as well into the next
scenario. Pro tip, kill her as fast as you can. Just kill her off.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. Yeah. And get rid of, don't save Wolf's Bane. Don't bother with Cannonball, Boom Boom, Richter, none of those guys. Just
Definitely just, Boom Boom. Don't want to, not Boom Boom.
Boom. All right. Surprise attack, Daniel.
Yeah. First, can I ask a question about the art?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a thematic reason that the Sentinel is see-through?
Yeah, it's got its invisibility cloak on, turned halfway on. Oh. It's like cloaking. Yeah.
But only from the waist down.
I think it started. Cool. Maybe he's coming out of the cloak. Maybe he's going into the cloak. Yeah.
Whatever. All right. Andrea and Laura have some.
Maybe the artist didn't finish drawing it. Yeah, ask them.
Like, got some Italians to ask a question to. Surprise attack is a side scheme when defeating the top card of the future pass deck into the encounter deck. The player who defeated this scheme flips this card, puts reactive defenses into their player. This is a hazard icon until you do it. Reactive defenses is an obligation. Okay, so
I don't mean to pick on your English because language doesn't really matter in this game.
It doesn't.
The word is reactivate. Defenses.
Oh my god, it is. My god. Reactivate defenses. This is
I don't get to do that often.
I said reactive defenses, right?
Yes, you did. And I corrected you.
Now, Steve, I have a vast understanding of all things grammar, but I can't read.
Okay.
So that's, reactivate defenses. All right. That is an obligation. So once Mike and his friendless deck clears surprise attack, he gets another obligation, which comes with an alter ego action. Spend a lightning bolt, a nerd resource, and a fist to deal 5 damage to each enemy in play and remove this card from the game. The Brotherhood's surprise attack caught you off guard, but if you can activate the X-Manson's defense systems, you can turn the tide of battle. Dang.
It's interesting. It's an obligation.
It sounds like more of a good idea than an obligation.
The player who defeated the scheme gets to flip it. Yeah.
Yep.
Instead of just being like an upgrade or something, it's pretty good.
So. Yeah, they're obligated to reactivate the defenses. Thematically, it works.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Yeah, huh. 5 damage to every enemy.
That's big.
And so this is Mansion Attack. You're going after. You could have a bunch of the Brotherhood of Mutant allies out.
Yeah.
And a villain. So you could do a bunch of damage to a bunch of characters. So.
But I like that, too. It's like the other cards, right? It's like, it's an obligation, sure, but you can actually leave this in front of you until the best time, right? Like, so you almost want to, complete this thing quickly. One, to get rid of the hazard, but like to have this as a pretty great trigger for when things get a little hairy. Oof, this is good.
Yeah, I agree with dumping that hazard as quick as you can, too.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to Magneto. You're going to reveal Magneto's Fortress side scheme. That's it. And then if you win, you win. So there's no further campaign stuff we have to worry about. And Mike, you talked about this before. Why don't you tell us about it now?
Okay, so Magneto's Fortress is a crisis icon with two threat per player. Magneto has fortified his asteroid sanctuary in anticipation of your assault. So because it's a crisis, you gotta get rid of it. There's no way you can win the scenario while keeping this in play. You just can't do it. Interesting that this has three boost icons as well, and some of them don't.
It's weird that any of them have boost icons, because they're never going to get targeted. They're never going to...
It must be future-proofing for add the boost icons of a side scheme in play.
Well, my enemy doesn't have one. I think they should have left them blank. You get to see full art. It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Or put three on all of them. I don't know.
So the thing is, as soon as you flip it, it becomes Magneto's power, which is an attachment that says attached to Magneto, permanent. It is a condition that gives him +1 scheme, +1 attack.
Okay.
But what does he have to say about it, Mike?
All right, so you're going to flip it. Magneto's going to get bigger. Are you sure, Mike, that you can't win without flipping it?
Well, you can't because it's a crisis icon.
Well, no, wait.
Can you take him down fast enough? So he normally has 18 health and 20 health. You have to go through the side schemes in order to deal damage to him.
Oh, that's true.
Crisis doesn't prevent.
Side schemes.
He has three main schemes. So if you never let him scheme, it's like, say you're playing solo or multi. Yeah, it's a 5 for the first one, a 6 for the next one, and a 7 for the next one. So it's like 18 threat that you have to hope he doesn't add any extra threat to while you pull off 9 threat from all his side schemes and deal him, what did I say, 18, and then like in standard, and then 20. So you'd have to do 38 damage. Yeah.
Achievement unlocked if you can do it.
Yes,
but
I would love to see if somebody could do that. I mean, you see these people play these crazy decks and do these crazy things. So beat Magneto and not flip his fortress. That's the thing I'd like to hear from a user.
Sounds like it would be easier in 4-player than in solo.
It's a lot more damage, though.
It is a lot more damage.
70,000 damage.
Yeah. I know that those are really low thresholds for thwarting.
Well, and then the M-type Sentinels are guard. So if they pop up, if he puts out his magnetic buble, he gets more health. I don't know if it's possible or not. So I think it'd be cool.
Pull out those Sentinels. If he beats you to the next scheme,
right, it gets worse and worse.
Throws out Sentinels. Yeah,
yeah.
It would be an incredibly heroic display, folks, if you could pull this off. You don't have to do it to win, but you have to do it to win. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Technically, you don't have to. Realistically, you do.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Yep. Okay. And then there's the, you get your standard campaign log where you're going to track all this stuff. And it's a fairly easy to understand campaign log, I think, so. All right. Let's talk overall campaign. Danny, you had mentioned thoughts on the progression of the villains, starting with Sabretooth.
First off, I actually like the campaign structure of this in the book, right? This is not a fiddly campaign and a lot to keep track of at all.
Well, this is what I like to call a Caleb Grace campaign. I say that affectionately because Rise of Red Skull, complete an objective, get a reward. Complete an objective, get a reward, right?
Yeah.
Mad Titan Shadow, complete an objective, get a reward. It's right there on the card. You don't have to go back to the book often.
Exactly.
You're tracking Jubilee Alive or whatever.
Right. But with that, the rewards for progression are the things that you think about kind of out of game time, right? Mm-hmm. What am I going to put in my deck next time to face Master Mold when I have a card from Leadership and a card from Justice that I can pick, right? That's fun stuff, but it's not fiddly weird stuff between scenarios in the campaign. You know what I mean? The campaign itself is really easy to follow and all that.
Yeah.
I have two problems with the campaign, with the scenarios. One is I think it's a little too Sentinel heavy for my liking. And we had complained about that before, right? Two and three aren't that different in a lot of ways. And I don't know. It would have been nice if there was to do. I find Sabretooth to be an incredibly frustrating opening villain.
He's probably the hardest opening villain.
Yeah, like or,
or
the
feels
healing
like
thing
it,
and all that. Like, I feel like a lot of the other ones are what the community will use to like deck test against, right? I don't think anyone's using the Sabretooth. Like, I know I will like roll up Octagon when I build something and like, let me try Ebony Maw.
Yeah, okay, so Crossbones. Yeah, Crossbones is a great scenario. I've played him plenty with a test. Drain, also good to test stuff, right? Just a bunch of little minions and stuff. Yep. Ebony Maw is...
I love Ebony Maw. He's my go-to.
Yep. Sandman is a lot of fun. Sabretooth is not one you go, oh, let me try this out again. Sabretooth.
Yeah, it's...
And you're right.
It's not a... And I don't mean this in a bad way. It's going to sound bad. It's not a fun scenario. Like, there's nothing about it that's like, other than the story of it, like defending the senator, and I like that kind of stuff, but it's really long. And as an opener to a campaign, I don't think the first scenario should be one step forward, two steps back, like he can be.
And just put this in perspective, your first game, we played 4-player.
Blind, right?
Blind, 4-player. Yeah.
Opening the box at Lord of the... Yeah.
And 2 hours later, we turned it off after we beat the first iteration of him. Yes, much better when you build for it, and much better at lower player count, but that was a surprise to us.
Yeah. You have to deck tech for him, you know, stuns and confuses, so he's not activating and healing. You have to know that, like, okay, everybody, let's all punch now and do 20 points of damage, so he only heals some of it, right? Onesie twosies just don't work against him. I agree. I do like Sabretooth, but... I have to be in the mood for that kind of game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd know what that mood would be for me, but yeah, I'm glad there's moods out there that are saying, hey, let's roll with Sabretooth out of campaign.
Right.
Yeah. Oof.
So if you had to take this box and you have to put it amongst our other campaigns that we have talked about, so excluding Age of Apocalypse, excluding Next Evolution... Right. Rise of Red Skull, Galaxy's Most Wanted, Man Titan Shadows, Sinister Motives, Mutant Genesis. Where are we tucking it in? Where, like, as a whole box or as a whole campaign? All the villains, the campaign stuff, all that.
Steve,
kind of
that's
stuff.
A hard question.
Yeah, I know.
Because this has my favorite final scenario.
It is good. Like, in general, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, just some thoughts on the campaign as a whole. And consider this not as gripes or praises, but just information you should know going in. On the whole, from a solo perspective, this gives you the most opportunity to round out your character, the most opportunity to prepare for yourself for the challenge ahead, which means you're free to bring characters that may not survive as easily on their own. And that's really awesome.
Oh, cool.
Keep in mind that there is a little bit of mental bandwidth with regards to the role building, because now you're thinking about all these other cards from two other aspects, and it's another thing to think about. It's fine if you like, you know, looking for those weird combos and stuff, but some people, you just want to get out and play, right? Magneto in solo is incredibly challenging. Those low threat thresholds are insane, and I think I mentioned in one episode that when I was playing Storm, her obligation basically lost me the game every time. Because minimum one turn in Alter Ego, if it hits you at exactly the wrong time, that's two turns in Alter Ego. I once had it come out right after Shadow of the Past, and then it just boom, boom, Magneto wins.
Well, yeah. Mike, in solo, can you even ever be in Alter Ego against him?
No.
Well,
never, right? Like,
you can't.
There are three main schemes, so you have to choose your loss. You have to say, all right,
but you're going to lose
go.
Every time because he's got, especially an expert, right? Like, he's got three scheme from the get-go. Like, he's...
Yeah. You basically have to say, how many times am I going to reveal advance in this game? Okay, that's how many losses I have. So now you're on the last stage already.
Yeah. Plus, you've got to keep up with the side schemes to make it so when he does advance, it's not as awful.
And that crisis icon at the beginning has to go turn one. So you can start. So you can, if you can last even a round in the first turn, you're doing all right. But yeah, it's difficult. And I think that difficulty doesn't scale appropriately.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point. I've never played this one by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I've played solo two player, two player still It's tough. Well, if you play with the Acolyte set, with the original teamwork keyword, it is, you're right, it is very difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think he's unfun. I mean, when we talk Magneto, it does get a little, I have had a few bad beats where it's like, oh, come on, like one more magnetic counter. But I think for it being Magneto, for it being the top scenario, I think that it ends okay. I mean, Venom Goblin, he's insane.
Ronin.
You know, Ronin, sure. Loki, you know, he's, I don't think he's.
Yeah.
At one point, though, Loki was my nemesis. I just couldn't win against Loki. Red Skull, I mean, he could be tough if you bring the wrong deck, but he's definitely very doable. I do like this campaign, but there are some, I think I like X-Men a little more than you guys, maybe. Daniel's watched some movies now, so maybe he's got a better appreciation for some of the theme. I think Caleb hit the themes right on a lot of it, even if I have to kill yet another Sentinel.
To be fair, this is a theme miss for me. I do not care about the X-Men, and I do not care about Sentinels. So, like, that is my claim.
You mean like an interest miss?
An interest. You're right. The theme missed me. But the scenarios as built are fun. It's just, you know, not my bag. Something else I will also mention with Solo, and this has happened to me enough times that. Okay, there's my statistical proof. those Days of Future Past, you are revealing fewer cards in a solo game if you're going fast, right?
Right.
So they tend to build up by the end. And I've had two campaigns where I've had all five of those damn cards with Magneto.
Yeah, that can be tough. Yeah, or you might, yeah, they, you don't see them going into the next scenarios and then you get them all at the end. Yeah. I have had Nimrod and Bastion both on the table at the same time because one of them didn't show up when they were supposed to, or I chose not to take them down because it was like, well, I just got to win this, so then they're going to follow me. I mean, there's only five negatives to this campaign when you think about it, right? Like, those five cards are the negatives of the campaign mode.
Plus campaigns counter to your ability to roll build.
Right. And I guess six. Yeah. Magneto's Fortress is the sixth one. That last side scheme in Magneto is the sixth one. That's the counter to roll build. That's the counter to having Jubilee and getting these potent allies that all basically have piercing and whatever and just mess, like, remove tufts around the board.
It's like, as constructed, it's solid. If you're an X-Men fan, don't pass it up.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, if you like X-Men, play it.
So, Steve, to your question, like, where do we put it?
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of middle of the road.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I think the camp, I think it's a solid. I like it in the middle.
Yeah.
It's not my least favorite. It's not my most favorite. So.
Yeah. And middle of the road for me is like, it's a seven. Like, really, only one campaign has sort of missed it for me, and that's my
favorite. Rise of Red Skull. Yeah, I get you.
Daniel's least campaign only had three scenarios in it.
Jesus.
Maybe four with Nebula.
I kind of like Nebula, but even that's pushing it. It's a fine campaign that has really great moments. And there's the scenarios, and then there's the campaign structure, which are, I grade them differently. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I love the role thing and the bringing cards from other aspects. I think that's great. So, like, of the campaign mechanics, this is in my top two.
Yeah, because you like Mad Titan Shadow, and this has a very similar mechanic, which has a very similar mechanic to Rise of Red Skull, because they're all Caleb designs, right? So he's got his style, and clearly you like his style.
Yeah, I like you do a thing, and you get rewarded for it. Yeah.
Right.
But the reward of this one is really cool to me. So, yeah, I like the campaign book. Just some of the scenarios are, like, a little... I wish there were a little bit more to it, but I get it. And I'm excited for the next Xbox, as it were.
Sabretooth, he's got the regeneration. It's really difficult. It can be. I've had plenty of games that aren't too bad. Then you have Project Wide Awake, which introduces the additional loss condition of the capture all your allies, which is neat. Master Mold, where instead of scheming, it just pumps out more minions, and it's just Unfortunately, maybe you've already your Sentinel overloaded there, but that's a neat mechanic. Everybody's a guard kind of thing. The mansion attack, we got our multiple villain scenario, which works pretty well. I think they did a good job with it. We've talked about it.
I do like that scenario. That's my favorite in the
box. Yeah, it has neat mechanics and stuff. And then Magneto, where you're racing side scheme versus main scheme, and you're trying to keep up with him and do, you know, you got to do your thing while he's doing his, which gives a little bit of feel like maybe the Arkham Horror, where there's the agenda and the act, you know, or the Lord of the Rings, where you're, there's a couple of those missions out there where like the bad guys have their thing they're doing, the good guys have their thing they're doing. So yeah, there are a lot of neat elements to this campaign box that I like. I guess it came with some heroes, but I don't know, whatever. Well, what else is there to say about the Mutant Genesis?
I don't know. I think we've exhausted all options.
That was excellent.
Yeah, excellent. I guess the only thing to say is this will end our Mutant Genesis talk. You know, we still have some mojo to do, though. We got some mojo okay. to do before okay. we hit the next evolution and all those X-Force characters.
But we did this wave? We did it?
Well, no, we're not done with the wave. We've just done this box plus all the okay. heroes. We have a
What's
little
left
bit.
What's left in the wave?
Just the mojo stuff.
That's part of this wave? It's not an independent thing?
Okay. Nope. It's part of this wave. You know, we've got the three villains there and then a couple more of the modular sets to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else there's to say.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's left is how the folks can get a hold of us and tell us their thoughts on the Genesis campaign. You can email us at criticalencounterspod@gmail.com. We are Critical Encounters on Facebook, and you can find us on YouTube, Twitch, or Patreon by searching for Critical Encounters Podcast. And on Discord, we are Vardane, Big Foam Loaf, and Wandering Duke. If you like our show, tell your friends. If you don't like our show, tell your enemies. Magneto, take us out.
Mine is the power to destroy and to reshape the world in my image.
Even though the X-Men rescued Robert Kelly from Sabretooth's attack, Robert Kelly is a champion. Is your outtake, Steve. Okay.
You're totally Mustafa in the script.
Yeah, so I'll redo it. Thank you.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it's going to be a 3-hour episode.